This is Phil Ferrand.
And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is a gorgeous day out. This is episode 703. 700. Oh, man. On our way to 2000. So it's episode 703. It is mid-September, and the weather just has turned gorgeous over the last few days. It's really been spectacular. So, all is well, all is well. Got a lot of good things done at work this week, and moving along. We had some challenges. We have continual challenges now, seems like, you know, when little things come up, and it's like, okay, how do we get that working? But, you know, so far so good. We've been able to meet the challenges, been able to get the things done that needed to get done. Finished up on the cover this week for book 17, uploaded all the files. I'm recruiting beta readers at this point. That's all going fine. I did have a little hitch in the get along with Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP, which is an offshoot, obviously, of Amazon. So normally, I upload the files, they evaluate them, and then they say, yeah, okay, they're live. And when they say they're live, then I can order author copies. And for some reason, I haven't been able to order author copies, which are just like the copies you would buy off Amazon, except they're like half price. And they don't have the big proof thing written across them. I can still order proof copies, but I can only order 5 at a time, and I'm going to need 20 to 25 of them. So yeah, I would prefer just to put in a bulk order for author copies. But it's not there. It's just not there. So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see. I have written them about it and said, is there a reason I can't? But I did manage to talk my grandson in to being on the cover, which is good. Made it through another cover. It was kind of cute because I pay the kids $25 a piece to be on the cover, and they spend all of, I don't know, 30 minutes doing this for me. I buy their costumes, I iron everything, I get all the staging set up. Just a matter of going down there, them getting changed, standing up there, doing the thing, etc., etc. So I had gotten everything set up, and we had taken pictures of Clara and got that taken care of, and then we had a costume for Asher, and he was still thinking about it. He wasn't sure, and of course Clara said, I'll do it, I'll do it, and I said, then that would be $50 you would get. What are you going to do with $50? And mom, my daughter, piped up, Lizzie popped up, and she said, probably buy pistachios. Because apparently Clara loves pistachios at this point, and so she buys big bags of pistachios for $10 from Walmart. And about that time, Asher said, I'll do it. And I kind of grinned, and I looked at him, and I said, so are you going to save your sister from eating that many pistachios? Yeah. So that was it. That was the key, at least for this time. We'll see if there's a key for next time. But anyway, so shot the stuff, got it all taken care of. There was one nice little moment in there. I had set up a green screen for Clara, but it was off cattywampus a little bit from the way we were shooting, and Lizzie piped up and she said, hey, do you want me to grab that green screen and kind of rotate it around a little bit? I said, yeah, that'd be great. So she grabbed it, rotated it around a little bit. As it turned out, I had calculated the angles incorrectly, but thankfully I had taken multiple pictures of multiple angles, and one of them was good, and as it turned out, where Lizzie had moved the green screen was not exactly lined up anymore because she couldn't see me moving, but it was exactly where Clara's shadow was, and it was turned in such a way that it fit almost perfectly with where the shadow needed to be on the picture when I composited everything together. So I just had to cut out the shadow, lift it up, drop it on there, size it, and it looked just fine. So I was like, yes. So I told Lizzie, thank you for listening to The Whisper, and we got a shadow in there. So got the cover done, stayed up a little later Tuesday night, went ahead and got that all done, got all the files uploaded. By Wednesday morning, they had approved them, so I'm like, okay. So I went to order books, nothing. Went checked on the internet, yep, it says sometimes it takes 24 hours. Waited until today, went and checked, nothing. So I'm hoping that my little pinging of the contact people, the customer support people, somebody will respond to me and say, oh, yep, sorry, we forgot to flip this switch. I'm really hoping they're not going to say, we don't allow author copies anymore. That would be sad, because it would mean I'd have to order 5 sets of 5 proofs or something. So, yeah, we'll see. But anyways, so all is well there. We're pottering along. I haven't been working that much on the costume for Wear It Pink Day. I worked a little bit over the weekend. I think I have the rest of the pieces in for that. I'll probably work on that a little bit this evening. Have a little something-something I've got to do in the mechanical room tomorrow, because we have a water process. Water, it's not the softener, it's a filter. Thing that backflushes every night, and the little backflushy drainage tube came out of the drain and it sprayed water everywhere. So I've got to pull all that stuff out of the utility room on Friday, leave the door open, let it dry out. You know, sadness, but these things happen. So we'll get that taken care of. I did check on it today and it had already started to dry, so hopefully there won't be too much we have to do. But yeah, life is good. We're puttering along. So it's Talk Like a Pirate Day tomorrow, so I'm learning some new pirate jokes. So those will be fun. And we should enjoy ourselves. Got breakfast planned with a couple of buddies this weekend, so, you know, all is well. All is well. This week, I came across I thought it was a fairly interesting video, and I thought it made some good points, and I thought it kind of shed some light. And it's an interesting harbinger, I think, of things to come. This is a really fascinating time. In a lot of ways. And in particular, this video was highlighting one particular way that this has become a fascinating time. And it'll just be interesting to see how this all goes. So, the video was from a company called Big Think. And, you know, they have interesting videos. They do them on a lot of things. The videos that I've watched tended to be more materialistic, atheistic, that sort of thing. You know, so tended to not necessarily be anything that's viewed from a religious perspective, and maybe some not from a conservative perspective. I mean, it's not the type of fare that you would expect to get from a Dennis Prager, PragerU type videos. But, you know, that's okay. It's good to have viewpoints. So the title of this particular video on YouTube from Big Think was The Problem Is Not Trump. And I thought, oh, okay, well, let's see what this guy has to say. And what the guy said was, I thought, was very good. He started out by saying, Trump is a symptom. If the problem were Trump, it wouldn't be happening in other places around the world. Now, as a sidebar here, I will have to say that I am quite amused at the hysteria, the seeming hysteria that there is over Trump as an individual, the larger-than-life depictions of him as someone who is continually mentioned in the same breath as Hitler and Mussolini. I mean, it's like, what? I mean, I know some people could argue that, well, people in Germany didn't know that Hitler was Hitler, but Hitler wrote Mein Kampf. So it's not like, you know. But I was just listening to Lex Friedman, I think is the podcast, and he like talks to everybody, and he was talking to a historian and saying, so sometimes I've wondered if I should, you know, talk to Donald Trump on this podcast. And they actually had this long 10-15 minute conversation about whether or not you should talk to Trump. I mean, this literally sounds like he's some kind of leader of a demon horde that, if I'm getting my mail, that, oh, if you even have him on your podcast, you're going to be furthering the destruction of the world, you know? It's just like, what are you talking about? It's just, you know, now if the rest of the political stuff, if all of it, if everyone was pristine and righteous and everyone had the best of intentions and everyone was pure as the driven snow, and, you know, if just being around Trump turned them into sort of rabid serial murderers or something like that, and that was proven over and over, that'd be one thing. But, you know, this idea of characterizing Trump, and I mean literally to discuss, you know, well, you know, because if people had interviewed Hitler and Mussolini, what are you talking about? Oh, man. He must be some kind of magic man. That's how he won the election, you know. Or, like the guy is talking about in this article, Trump is a symptom. If the problem were Trump, it wouldn't be happening in other places around the world. So this guy says, we actually see all sorts of countries, advanced industrial democracies, where people are getting angrier and they're voting more and more against the establishment. So they saw it in the Brexit referendum, which was before the U.S. presidential election. We saw it in Germany with the rise of the Alternatives for Deutschland, an actively Euro-skeptic party for the first time. We have nationalists in the German parliament. We saw it in the recent Italian elections when they threw out all of the establishment parties, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is very unusual, and it's not coincidence. So he then put forth four reasons that he thought this was happening. And they all sounded pretty good to me. He said, one reason is because you have lots of members of the working and middle classes that feel like they're not doing well economically, and no one in the establishment is going to help them. I.e. globalization, i.e. shipping jobs overseas, i.e. taking away, you know. So let's vote for some change. Let's vote against free trade. Let's vote against the support of the establishment. Let's bring in something new. Second reason, he says, is a lot of anti-immigration. Demographics have changed an awful lot in the United States and Canada and Europe over the past decades. And people feel like the people that have come before say, wait a second, you're not taking care of me, but you're going to bring in these new people, and these new people who I don't necessarily like or trust or understand. They're getting benefits. What about my benefits? It's going to cost a lot of money to bring these in, i.e. open border policies, you know, where they're just walking across and fentanyl is spiking and okay. So he said the third piece has been military. He said the foreign policy establishment comes up with all these ideas about we're going to go into this war, we're going to go into that war, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But most of the sons and daughters of the people who are deciding to put us into war, they aren't going to war. It's the other people. It's the working class. It's the middle class. Their sons and daughters are going to war and coming back mangled. And so people are tired of that. So the fourth reason, where was the fourth reason? And then you have technology, which is increasingly driving people apart. We get most of our information in the United States from advertising companies that view us as commodities, products. They sell our eyeballs and our time on their sites to companies that pay money to ensure that we spend as much time as possible on Facebook and Twitter and on the rest. That's how we get our information. We spend more time on their sites if we are divided and we are narrower and only follow the things we like, which means Democrats are watching pro-Democrat sites and conservatives and Republicans are watching pro-Republican sites. There's virtually no overlap. So it's fake news for everybody. It's us versus them. That's what's happening across Europe. It's happening in Canada. Those four factors are driving us apart and they're ripping at the fabric of civic nationalism all across advanced industrial country. And it doesn't help, you know, that there is this woke religion that isn't just about, and there, it doesn't help that there's like Christian nationalism on the right, woke religion on the left, and it, they're very much oriented on both sides, the left and right, to either you agree with us or you're infidels. It's not like we can have just a pleasant conversation about this. You either have to wholeheartedly agree with us or you're infidels. You know, so it's very clear, the guy goes on in the article to say it's a structural condition that we've been living with and ignoring for decades, and it's getting worse. Now, one thing that he did say that was interesting, he said, you look at one country that doesn't seem to be experiencing this, and it's Japan. He said, if you go to Japan, you'll pretty much find that people are just as happy and trusting of their political institutions, their leaders, their media, as they were 30, 40 years ago. So he goes back then and looks at these four factors. So economic erosion of the working class. Well, in Japan, the population is shrinking fast. From now until 2050, it's going to shrink by another 15%, which means that even though the Japanese economy is not growing per capita, they're doing a lot better so they don't feel bad. Immigration, the Japanese just don't let anybody in, period. They want to stay homogenous. You know, so there's nobody to have a backlash against. It's all Japanese. As far as the military goes, Japan isn't really allowed to build up that much of a military. They're constitutionally forbidden. So when they send troops someplace else, like into Iraq, they sent a few hundred Japanese. That's it, a few hundred. And they were stationed far away from the battle. No one got mangled. They all had $1 million life insurance policies. Ta-da. And finally, social media technology, where the Japanese as a government work hard to keep social media out of the political space, and the average Japanese adult isn't on social media. Only about 39% of them are, compared with well over a majority in the West. So the one country in the world among the wealthy democracies that isn't experiencing a crisis of democracy is the one that rejected globalism and its precepts over the last 40 years. That's pretty interesting. What's the solution? Same solution as always. For the last thousands of years, same solutions, love your neighbor. You know, we can either embrace that solution or not. And if it's not, we're in for a ride. And I think it's pretty obvious that we're in for a ride. So it's going to be really fascinating to see. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about the work of the flesh and the spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit who restrains. And, you know, for a long time, what I have perceived in America is when everything seemed to be going downhill, because there was a time when the Christian church was just attacked vehemently. I mean, remember growing up, it was just so many attacks. And then those kind of waned a little bit. And, you know, at least then we sort of became tolerated. And, you know, it was, there was a time when everybody was talking about, yeah, the Christian church in America is going to be persecuted, and now we're just convenienced to death. You know, or we're made irate enough that we're just joining one of these little woke or Christian nationalist communities and taking ourselves out of any kind of interaction with anybody else. I told my friend, I said, yeah, I said, I really do believe, even with Christians, non-Christians, all, that when the Bible talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit who restrains, that when we see that restraining, you see it manifested where people start getting angrier and angrier, and then some of them just stop and say, you know, hold on, wait, this doesn't feel right. I have a friend who's a scientist, and when everything started getting weird with COVID, there just came a point where she just backed away from all the stuff. Because she said, I just kept getting angrier and angrier, and she said, I didn't like it. And so she just kind of got off social media for a while, because she said, it's just not, you know, I don't like how I feel. And, you know, those little whispers inside, whether they name the name of Christ or not, those little whispers can help people and can guide them back to a more calm existence. It can be beneficial. I have no idea how we are ever going to implement any kind of a love your neighbor in this country when we are experiencing the types of things that we are experiencing, and social media is tearing us apart because it's all flesh amplifiers like we've talked about before. I have no idea. All I know is what I can do. And what I can do, dress up in my little costumes, make people smile, go and have conversations with people, be pleasant, be loving, be kind, hopefully spread a little sunshine. Because like I've told people in the past, you know, I know we say, what would Jesus do? And I know that sometimes we feel like that's an impossible standard and we can never live that way. But you know what we can do? If we think, oh no, I could never, you know, be like, what would Jesus do? Maybe what we should do is just try, what would Mr. Rogers do? Is that more attainable? Can we be more like Mr. Rogers? Because even if we were just more like Mr. Rogers, you know, things would be better. Look at everybody as our neighbor. Look for the good in them. Try to be kind. Try to be generous. All these things are good things. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.